Dueling Genre.
Welcome to the Jay and Silent Bob Minute. We are covering the movie Chasing Amy, 1 minute at a time. Today we are covering minute 49, quite possibly the greatest gauntlet minute ever. I'm Jeff Ferry.
And I'm Chris Thercutch.
And I'm Rick Tatro.
And where are you from, Rick, for the people that don't know you?
I am from the Starbase Command Podcast Collective, where you can find Starbase 66, Open the Iris, our Stargate SG-1 podcast, and Infinite Diversity, a show I do every now and then when I interview cool people.
So you're covering Stargate. So I will tell you about all my Stargate knowledge.
Okay.
I watched the movie.
Okay.
And how many episodes? There was three series, right? Of shows, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how many episodes approximately you think there were?
Well, there were 10 seasons of SG-1. So they went over 200 episodes. I'm not sure the exact number.
Jesus.
There were 5 seasons of Stargate Atlantis, so over 100 episodes of that. And there were 2 seasons of Stargate Universe. So there's about 20 years of podcasting there, I think.
I was going to say. That's what I'm thinking about when we're looking at what we got ahead of us.
Yeah, it doesn't look so bad now.
And by the way, I've seen one episode of those series. I saw the very first episode of SG-1 the night it aired, and I was like, I'm not going to invest my time in this.
It gets a lot better.
I will grant you,
at the beginning, it was very much a Showtime show, and so they had tits and swearing. And then as soon as that episode was done, everybody involved in the show went, we're not doing that anymore, and then the show got really good.
No, I don't want to watch it without tits and swearing.
I'm assuming it's like, I try to look at it now, like this is years later. I was probably about 20 when that came out, so I was like, I'm not watching this. But if I judged all my science fiction on their first episode or their first season, I wouldn't watch any science fiction.
Yeah.
There are not that many. It's the Battlestar Galacticas are very few and far between of like their first episode's amazing.
Yeah.
Everything else is Encounter at Farpoint.
That's a weird
series, like,
though.
I guess this is good. Like, what the hell's going on?
You know, when TNG came out, I was one of those, if it's not Kirk or Spock, I don't want anything to do with it. And then Encounter at Farpoint aired, and I watched it, and I was like, see? I was right! And it took me 3 years to finally give the show a chance, and, you know, the rest is history.
Oh, yeah, it got good, but, ooh, that first season's rough.
Oh, Doctor Who? Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, Doctor Who. I watched all the Doctor Who I could for free, and then I caught up to like when she took over, and now I got to pay for it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm not paying for
nothing. I'm out. I'm not that much of a fan.
Oh, I thought you meant like the real first season. Like,
oh God, no! Like I've seen some of those.
Was that like 1938 or something?
63.
Yeah,
63.
Yeah.
And it It shows.
Oh, yeah.
Not even like 1963 American television. Like right. 1963 British.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, all right, we've got this one lot. You can use whatever's on it. We need a spaceship. You can use that box.
Yep. And like the actors like flub their lines and there's no editing.
That's good stuff. You can tell we got a lot to cover in this minute. All right, so this minute starts with the magic eight ball results, and we end at the diner, as all good nights should, especially if you're from Jersey.
As soon as I saw that diner, I was like, I know that diner. That's the Berlin Diner. I saw Ben Affleck's picture on the wall. It's not. They filmed Jersey Girl in the Berlin Diner, not this.
Well, I mean, there's only, what, 12,000 diners around here, so.
I know, but I did see the picture on the wall. His picture is in the Berlin Diner on the wall from Jersey Girl, right next to Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Oh, they might want to take Superfly's picture down.
You would think, right?
Don't worry, they never convicted him of killing his wife.
No, because he died before they made it there. Anyway,
Affleck's like, yo, listen, I realized I was in a couple bad movies, but seriously, you got to put me next to this guy?
Put me next to a murderer? Come on.
All right, so, yeah, Rick, you enter this... this argument already in progress. Which, it's one of those, Ben Affleck started in on him before this, kind of teasing him a little bit, and he flipped out. It was one of those, your friend is really pissed off, and you don't read the room.
Either that, yeah, or you don't care.
Yeah, or like you start poking at them, not realizing they're already at like a 9.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, Baggy blew up.
Hey, before we get into this argument, God, I'm sorry.
When I was in high school, I had a friend who did this shit to me. Who I started seeing this woman, and he just lost his shit because I wasn't spending enough time with him.
And but I will, now you said you were in high school, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that here's the sense. Difference. These guys are like 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
These guys are old.
You would hope at this point in your life, you could have a slightly more rational conversation about this. Like, I understand. He actually has – the points he's making aren't really wrong. Just you're very rarely going to get the person to your side when you're screaming in their face about it. Now, listen, I realize it feels good because, damn, I love yelling at people. But, like, you're not going to convince them of anything. You're not going to get him – you think he's going to come to your side?
No, he's going to yell back is what he's going to do.
But you know what impresses me about this minute is it's the closest Kevin Smith comes in this movie to real dialogue instead of, you know, classic Smithian monologues thrown at each other.
Yeah, they're definitely – this is a – as much as I was saying it's you don't want to do this, this is a real argument.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, like, Jason Lee's completely the aggressor and Affleck's lines aren't at the same level of his because he wasn't expecting this. And as we proceed along and what happens happens, it's because he's taken off guard by this whole situation.
Well, I also like the fact that the camera is moving for a change instead of just, you know, locking it down on a tripod and then just, you know, just having two people in the frame, which is, you know, something Smith did a lot back then.
Yeah, and I'm part of me is seeing his DP on the day going, please let me take this camera off sticks, please. Like, what did he shoot after this? I think he shot Homeland after this.
Really?
Yeah. Like, the guy was like, he's a real director of photography. He's directed for real shit, not just like Kevin Smith projects. Like, that's like his side gig now. Like, yeah, sure, Kevin, whatever. I'll come back and shoot your stuff. Yeah, I could take a nap while we're doing it.
Yeah.
Now, good.
Now, is he.
This movie that I've found troubling, I guess is the right word.
You found something troubling in this film? Oh, tell me about it.
Well, okay. I sort of backed into Kevin Smith movies because Dogma was the first Kevin Smith movie I ever saw. And then somebody showed me Clerks. And Clerks, you know, Clerks has a charm all its own because it's so clearly an amateur production. So you have to give it a lot of leeway. So when it's good, it's great. And when it's bad, you just go, well, you know, you can tell it was shot for $10,000. And a camcorder, and then Mallrats was just kind of, you know, silly, goofy, almost comic book kind of film. But this film looks and feels professional, but it's still got that sort of, you know, dollar store sensibility, and it just annoys me a lot more in this film for some reason.
Well, I'll ask you. You brought it up about the stuff. Like, his budget for Mallrats was $6 million. And obviously, everybody knows he made Clerks for, he made it for $27,000. Yeah. What do you think the budget on this film was?
I think I knew that Mallrats cost $6 million, although it still kind of shocks me. I think this one was less, wasn't it? It was like $2 or $3 million.
$250,000.
But it was started out as more, right, Jeff?
Yeah, it started out as more. It was like, I forget what it was now. I'm sure everyone that's listened already knows. It was like $5 million or $4 million or something. That was our old buddies, the Weinsteins, that were going to finance it.
They wanted their actors.
The caveat was they had the three leads were the three actors they wanted. Kevin said, I want my people. They said, well, if you get your people, we're not giving you any money. We'll give you $250,000. He's like, I'll do it then. And, like, for whatever this movie ends up being, I still think it would be better than it is. If it would have been those three actors, it would have been another forgettable comedy. It would have come, it would have gone, it would have been cop-out. It would have been, like, in and out, you know, a serviceable comedy. I'll give Kevin this. He sticks to his guns right there, like, especially then, because Mallrats had failed. So everyone was starting to think, oh, Kevin Smith, well, he made that one good movie, but, you know, he made Mallrats and nobody liked it. So this was, like, his big comeback. So if you make the movie for $250,000 and it makes nothing, you might be done.
Yeah, yeah. I've always been impressed with the balls it took to do this film. You know, and that's, you know, for later on in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, this movie suffers from a little bit of Smith himself with his sensibility.
Yeah.
It also is dead in the middle of the indies boom, and it's got that indie stank all over it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's done better than most of those, because if you go back and watch some of those indie movies, they're terrible. They are god-awful. Because for a while there, everybody thought they could make a movie. The problem is, everybody's not Kevin Smith or... You know, you're not, well, not even, the Tarantino actually always had money, but like those guys you know of, the reason why you know of them, because they were good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I said this the last time it was on, but I noticed when Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back came out, and I was watching it with my then girlfriend, who's now my wife, and Kevin Smith can get away with stuff that other, I won't sit for, I won't sit still for other people doing. Like, what was that movie? Superbad?
The one with Jonah Hill and...
Yeah, and it was like, we got 10 minutes into that, and I'm like, this guy wants to be Kevin Smith so bad, but he just doesn't have half the talent, and we turned it off.
I think Kevin gets away with it some for the same reason he talks about how Jason gets away with how he acts towards people. Not as much anymore, but especially when he was a junkie. He would act like an asshole, and he's like real overbearing, but he'd get away with stuff nobody else could. And they asked Kevin why, and Kevin said, that's because deep down, he's got a good heart, and people can tell.
Yeah.
So, like, he's you give him that extra, like, I wouldn't let anybody else do this. Like, so if you think it's not coming from a place of malice, you're like, okay, well, maybe I'll let it go.
Yeah, it's like a child. No filter
almost. And yeah. Just ignore him, yeah.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, now this movie gets in trouble because... Since it covers a sensitive subject even at the time, just like anything, any sensitive subject you handle, as time passes, if society moves in the correct direction, no matter how forefront you were, you're going to fall behind.
Yeah, you're still behind, yeah.
So like if you watch this movie now 25 years down the road, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's probably not how that would be handled today. Besides the fact that half the stuff that happens in this movie, most people wouldn't blink an eye at anymore.
Right.
Especially as it takes place in New York, people would be like, who cares? It's like, wow, a gay bar. How exciting. There's 50 of them on this street.
You can't find a straight bar anymore. Are you kidding?
I know. No, the problem is every bar is themed. It's tough to find a non-themed bar at this point. Right. Where do you want to go? You want to go to the gay bar, the biker bar, the Star Wars bar? I mean, like, can I just go to a friggin' regular bar?
Hey, you want to go to
the Irish bar?
Cantina? Yeah,
like,
Irish pub.
You go into the Irish bar, and it's just like, you know, everyone, they're literally dressed up like they're in Ireland. You're like, oh, god damn it. Well, here's the thing. I'll ask you this. Banky says it's affecting their work, their friendship. Is he right? From what we've seen, the evidence that we have, Chris, what do you think?
Yes, yes, because he's constantly with her. He let Banky go by himself. That's a problem right there.
He's doing the thing that I have seen friends fall into this, of they're spending so much time, especially with a member of the opposite sex, who they're not sleeping with, which is, it's always suspect, especially if deep down you think they're trying to. And again, this usually happens to younger people. You've all had that friend in high school who's going to hang around with that girl. We're just friends. And you're like, you would cut off your right hand
right.
if she would, like, so much as look at you the way you want her to.
No, she's like my sister. Yeah, right. Yeah. You're following her around like a puppy dog. Get out of here.
And like I've said this before.
I'm like her brother. It's
yeah.
Not
reciprocal.
You know how you find out? Put that to the test. Have her say, I want you to come up to my room with me right now, and we're going to get down. And if you go, no, I'm not, I don't like you. We're just friends. Okay, well then that guy, you know, he was correct.
He was a stand-up guy.
Yeah. How often do you think that happens?
About zero.
maybe negative numbers.
Yeah. Maybe you're right.
And like I said, it can happen later in life, I feel. Or like, so, okay, you're older, you get married or whatever. Yeah, you can have these kind of relationships where like, even if somebody was like, I want you to go upstairs right now. Now, I wouldn't do it. And as I've told Chris, but you know who the first person I would tell would be? Is my wife. Because I would come home and throw it in her face. Be like, guess what? This girl tried to take me upstairs. Yeah, I still got it.
Guess how old she is. She's young, too. Guess
she's young. Not too young. Settle down.
Not that young.
Like, young enough where I look cool and not so young where I look like a real creep. not like Chris Hansen young. although Jason Lee does make the... You never want to throw the gauntlet down unless it's really your last... Like, it's the last straw. Like, yeah. This is the first time you've brought it up and you're already throwing gauntlets down.
Well, he's saying he will. He didn't say he did yet. He just said he will throw the gauntlet.
If you say the hypothetical and then you ask the question, what would you do if I did that? You've done it.
True. Because now you're going to answer it anyway, so now you know.
You know what I liked about Jason Lee in this? And I know that he is a fantastic actor, and I've seen him in tons of other stuff since. My first exposure to him was in Dogma. And I know he was playing, a non-human character in Dogma, but some of the faces he would pull when he was talking really bothered me. And in this one, he was just totally straight, real person, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, this is his most real character he plays. I probably prefer Brody from Mallrats because he's just more fun. But this could be someone who was your friend. He's basically a good guy. You have a lot of fun with him, but the man is deeply flawed. And that's how real friends are. You don't have, all your friends are not the perfect little, they're not the wonderful people. Like, they have problems.
So, Jeff, we made a mistake a couple weeks ago. Just want to let you know this right now.
Oh, dear God.
And we're idiots. And my excuse is I was drunk, so I don't know what your excuse was. But we said he had a Shazam shirt on. You realize you realize you went through a whole minute of Mike Allred, and we know that's not a Shazam.
Oh,
okay, that's a Madman shirt he's got on. And I
it looks like
it
Shazam. Come on,
it does look like Shazam. But I'm looking, I'm like, I know that's not Shazam. And then I looked it up. Yeah, it's Mike Allred. We had what was his name that came on from Teenage
Mutant? Oh, Adam Sheehan was on.
Sheehan was on, and he knew all about Mike Allred, and we talked about it for a long time. And then we said it was a Shazam shirt last week or a week before.
Well, I'm sure when that airs, I'll be getting a message. So, hey, stupid.
So correction
Listen,
is
it's here's not. How I'm gonna tap out on this because I'm gonna say Mike Allred, that's like an independent comic, and Shazam is DC, and I don't know shit about DC. So,
and the movie was newer, so we it probably still stuck in your mind. So
yeah, like I guess like DC, I have casual fan knowledge of DC.
Come on, you watch.
Yeah, I know like the top couple guys, but like I don't have the deep third level villain characters or whatever.
I think you're getting there because you watch all them Berlantiverse ones.
It's just a bunch of 20-year-olds with no shirts on.
That's just true. This is absolutely true.
I made it to the fourth season of The Flash, and then I tapped out.
My wife was watching The Flash a half an hour ago.
Oh, my God. I'm watching. Some of them I'm watching because they're good, and some of them I fucking hate watching them at this point. Like, oh, my God, this show sucks.
I do like the Plastic Man character when I walk by. I'm like, that looks like the cartoon I remember from being...
Elongated Man?
Yeah, Elongated Man. I do like that.
Well, that's the problem. Flash has run into the problem of now. He is now Seinfeld. He's the least interesting character on his own show.
Yeah.
Because, let's be honest, there's only so many seasons of like, well, how's he going to run fast and solve this problem?
I just got so fed up with Barry would be like, I'm going to do the thing. And everyone's like, no, don't do the thing. And he's like, I did the thing. Oh, shit, help.
Yeah.
We told you not to do it, idiot.
And I've said it before. I will say it again. The only show of all the because I'm only watching four of them because that was my limit. I bagged my limit. The only one I'm truly enjoying is Legends of Tomorrow because that show, don't give a shit. And that's what I like about it.
And I tried. I couldn't make it through the first episode. It was so bad.
Oh, the first season's a little shaky. But I'll tell you this. If you look at that first episode, what was there, eight main characters?
Yeah.
Like at least six of them are gone.
Oh, really?
They just rotate that whole cast out. They're like, well, okay, a couple of you were terrible. Bye.
And I loved Supergirl for the first two seasons.
I liked Supergirl.
Supergirl's almost unwatchable now. I tapped out when they gave her the love interest.
Yeah.
The guy who looked like Superman. Monel or whatever.
Yeah.
The guy that she ended up really marrying. I'm glad she found love, but, oh, God, he was fucking shit on that show.
Melissa Benoist married him?
Yeah, because it was like one of those, finally, Supergirl's got a man. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
And he was such a douche. It was terrible.
Oh, yeah. He was. It was awful. Yeah. Speaking of douchebags.
I'm not sure if we did any of this minute yet, so.
Yeah, we did. We got halfway through their fight. All right. So he finally breaks them. I don't know that I've ever actually done this in real life, although I think I kind of have seen it happen, where a fight gets so intense, you say something you shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So he admits, wait, I'm assuming probably to himself for the first time, that he's in love with her. Although
it shuts Banky right up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's just done. Banky's done when he says that.
Yeah.
He like doesn't know what to do. I think he just says fuck or something like that. He puts his head down,
whispers fuck, and then walks away.
Well, I think even for Smith, the number of fucks in this scene is pretty dense.
There's a lot of fucks.
Yeah. I'm betting they're not all in the script. I'm betting it's just like, just go. It's just like how I'm sure the script doesn't say you're smoking in every scene, but God knows they are.
Oh, my God.
Oh, before we move on to our little diner aperitif here, does anybody have anything to say about this scene?
Yeah, we picked apart the stuff on the table. Nobody noticed that old-timey milkshake maker in the back underneath the lamp there.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, there's one in my closet right now. It's the silver cup and the old-timey milkshake maker. There's one.
Why do you have an old-timey milkshake maker?
Because my wife likes to make milkshakes old-timey, or likes to pretend like she likes to because she hasn't used it in like 20 years. So.
Oh, so it's like all the stuff in my cabinets where I got, 12 plates up there when we have the dinner party that we're never going to fucking have.
I have a toaster
there. There is one. All right.
You say it to, I have a toaster that makes hot dogs, Jeff, that we used once.
I kept focusing on the thing that looks like a toaster with a giant cassette tape in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. Did Guy know what that was last week?
I'm sure he did, but we probably distracted him with our nonsense before he could get to it. Because I know he brought up the can crusher that's up there. He brought up the
weed lamp that's.
That's what I'm saying. Whoever the set decorator was for this movie was like, I'm going to go crazy in this place.
Is that like an old pressure cooker next to the lamp on the other side? What the hell is that?
Oh, wait a minute.
It could be an ice thing for ice.
Maybe.
Usually they're square, not round, but.
There's a lot of shit on that table.
Well, the problem is the shit's not in HD, so if you try to look at it any closer, it just becomes pixels.
Yes, I zoomed. It doesn't work.
It becomes a shitty Adam Sandler movie.
Where I zoomed, in the next scene, I tried pixels. I tried to zoom on the sign for the diner, and the thing exploded on me. Like, you can't see shit when you try to zoom on the sign.
Well, like, I'm sure this wasn't... Chasing Amy, even at the time, was not shot on. Like, let's get the highest quality film we can get. It was like, what can we get for bargain basement prices?
Throw a bunch of shit on that table. Who cares?
Yeah, so they show a diner. Now, I guess I could have looked this diner up and, Chris attempted to, but... Yeah, look it up yourself.
I'm pretty sure it was the Marina Diner, and I forget where it was. My wife looked it up because I called her in, and I said, is this the Berlin Diner? And she said, no. I said, that's got to be. There's pictures on the wall. And we argued for like a half hour, and then she came back and said I was
wrong. Yeah, the problem is where we live, there's a diner every 3 miles. So that was one of the heartaches of moving away from here. It was like, what? There's no diners.
you guys are up north, right?
Yeah, we're both in Jersey.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're like right in... ground zero. Where
but we're not North Jersey, just so you know. We're in South Jersey.
Oh, yes, we are in pork roll country.
Yeah, we are.
Pork roll for life.
I ever say North Jersey to us.
you're closer than Florida.
Okay, so it's the Marina Diner from Chasing Amy is now closed down. The Marina Diner was on Route 36 and Sealy Street in Belford, New Jersey.
Yeah, that's quite a distance from here.
Yeah.
I like that they also, it like breaks into like 50s music too.
Yeah, yeah.
I was waiting for that dude with the four arms to walk in. No? Who, no one? No one saw the prequels? All right.
Who, Popeye?
I couldn't remember his name.
I've been really working hard for the last 20 plus years to forget those things. So.
I'm dying on the inside that I can't remember that dude's name off the top of my head. Part of me is like so pissed that I can't remember. The other part of me is like, maybe I'm finally forgetting those movies.
My wife and I were talking about Leia.
Oh, crap. I remembered. It's Dexter Jetser. I didn't remember.
I'm so sorry.
You're awful.
Sorry. because we were talking about retcons in Star Wars, and she and her some of her friends at work were arguing about Leia saying she remembered her mother, and I was like, well, yeah, she shouldn't. And then she's talking about how she's remembering her adoptive mother, and don't you remember at the end of the movie where you know, she was taken to Alderaan? I'm like, what the fuck? At the end of Revenge of the Sith, which is completely blank in my brain, or at least it was until tonight, because like I totally forgot all of that bullshit.
Yeah, it's one of those like when I was showing my daughter those movies for the first time, I just white knuckled my way through the prequel.
We just watched them all in a row.
Like, I understand, you gotta watch them. You just see it once and we'll move on. Part of me is deep down at the time we're watching it, like, please don't like these movies. Like, because if I have to watch, like, The Phantom Menace every day, I will kill myself.
I'll tell you what. New Year's Eve, for the last few years, I let my little girl, she's 8 now, I let her stay up till midnight. And this year, she was really struggling to stay up, and I said, well, do you want to watch the first Star Wars movie? Because she wanted to know where Darth Vader came from. And we put it on, we got about maybe 20 minutes into it, and she got bored mm-hmm. and said she wanted to watch The Force Awakens again. I was like, yes!
Yeah, everything went great till I took her to Rogue One.
How old is she?
When we saw Rogue One, she was probably like 9 or 10. Oh, okay, yeah. So she's looking at me with that look in her eyes of like, why is everyone dying?
Yeah, these people are going to make it, right?
Yeah, sure, they'll be fine.
Do you hear they're doing a prequel to Rogue One now?
Oh, please tell me it's called Rogue One Half.
Rogue Zero.
I mean, I know they're doing that Cassian series.
I didn't read past the headline. I was just like, oh.
I don't read it anymore because every time they announce something, they just immediately cancel it. So the problem is, I think these days when someone announces something, it's just like something somebody working at Disney overheard and it's like, guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? When it pops up on my Disney Plus, I'll know that it exists.
Listen, you go.
The Mandalorian is amazing and they can't do nothing better. So.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Which, and now I'm sure they'll learn all the wrong lessons from it like they always do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're like, we need to have more baby characters. Yeah, no, just tell an interesting story and have somebody in charge and knows what the hell they're doing.
I already heard somebody grumbling about a baby Jabba the Hutt. I'm like, oh,
I right, heard that too.
Go. Yep, here we go.
There's a picture going around and it's just like, no,
don't do it.
Yeah, I was stunned at how good The Mandalorian was.
Yeah, me too.
I had no expectations for it and it just blew me away.
And it's got Bill Burr in it for some reason.
Yeah, well, that's weird when a strange gun that pops out.
All right, so I'm not going to say much about the diner because we're in there for 5 seconds.
Right.
Does everything about anything about this minute you want to get off your chest?
We're in the diner for about 5 seconds, and she eats about 8 mouthfuls of food while we're there. So. That's all I got.
I think all I can think of now when somebody eats on screen is knowing that if they did that 10 times, somebody was spitting into a bucket.
Oh yeah, yeah. But yeah.
Or they're eating it and they're like, oh god.
I figure one take on that, we're done.
I hate that I learned about the bucket because I can't watch an eating scene on screen anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Or you watch it seeing who's actually eating and who is always just lifting food up towards their face and it never quite reaches.
Well, she's shoveling, so there's no way that she's, you know, they had to do too many takes of this because she was...
I mean, aside from like maniacs like Will Ferrell and like Bill Murray who actually are eating all that crap you see them eating.
Yeah. Well, you can actually see what she's eating in this, and then the next minute, spoiler alert, it's not what they say she ordered.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll get there. Chris, are you done?
You're done.
All right. Rick, why don't you take us out with one of your plugs?
Okay. I wasn't expecting that. Hang on.
Gotcha.
Words are hard. You can find me on Starbase 66, the international Star Trek and genre fiction podcast over at starbasecommand.net, as well as other shows that I do. There's about 20 of them. Actually, no, I'm down to 3 of my own. I guessed on other shows, like on Cosmic Potato or here or anywhere, and also on Twitter. If you want to find me on Twitter and shout obscenities at me, I will throw them right back at you. I'm at Admiral Marius on Twitter.
We're going to play the waiting game again, huh, Chris?
You said he was going to take us out. I thought we were done.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. Tune in next time for another minute of Chasing Amy.
We are the Jay Tom Bob Bennett. We're on DuelingGenre.com. I'm not saying a whole lot this time. Find us on Twitter, and Facebook, Pinterest, you know, all those places. You got anything else, Jeff?
No. Just remember, variety is the spice of life. You weren't recording, were you, you fucking idiot? Yes.
You want to try that again?
I love podcasting.
Oh, God. This is what I got to work with.
I only had 4 beers so far, too. Not like 8 or 9 in like usual.
No, because when you're 8 or 9 in, that's when you say shit we got to apologize for the next week. Come make me laugh. I didn't want to scream out because I'm fucking in love with her.
Why not? Your wife might hear you.
Yes, come down the steps and beat the shit out of me. That'd be good.
Are you talking to?
Listen, if that happens, just keep it running.
Oh, I would definitely keep it running.